Monday, and sorry, my computer's falling over here. It is Monday, and it is the first Monday in August. And today we're going to take a look at what is going on today. Today's the full moon, and it's a pretty powerful full moon, so you'll want to know what is going on with that. And as well, a look ahead at the week. So hopefully everybody had a great weekend. It was pretty busy on my part. I totally had forgotten on Friday when we were chatting that I was going to be walking a 5K because we had little kids with us. We were all, our whole family doing that. It was to raise money. And we had decided to do this back in, I think it was April or May. And we all decided to do it, and there we were walking. So we did actually more than 5K, because 5K is a little over 3.5 miles, I think. And we walked darn near 5 miles, and it was hard on my body, because guess what? I did a usual moon square Jupiter thing. I did it over, I overdid it. I didn't practice ahead of time or get myself up to doing 5 miles. I just did it, and it was hot and dusty, and yeah. So it was a great day though, because we all got to do it together as a family, but it was definitely difficult for my body later. I was like, So anyway, hopefully everybody had a great weekend themselves and had maybe some excitement. It was a weekend that was less, you know, crazy than some of the ones we've had in the past, but also a little more crazy. So now as we look ahead for the week, we have a lot going on, at least for today with the full moon, because this full moon comes also with an opposition from Mercury to Saturn. And then we also have an Aquarius full moon, which Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, and that brings some surprises. And then we also have that full moon, sitting in a at the point of a T square to Uranus as well. So the revelation energy, the completion energy, might be heightened in some ways, and that can make it, you know, so that it's more interesting for everybody, let's say, shall we? And maybe the things that you let go of today might be things that you hadn't thought that you would be willing to let go of, or maybe some of the new, you know, revelations that come up will be things that you didn't realize that you wanted to let go of. So be surprised, right? This is a full moon in Aquarius. And that means that we're getting prepared for the future. It is the new, and it is what is coming up in the future, right? And we have a lot of energy sitting in the old, which is Capricorn, and then we have this full moon across Aquarius. So what is the resistance that you might have to starting something new? What is the resistance you might have to moving forward? And I was going to start with this morning, and I totally forgot until just now. When, remember last week, I did a show with Angel Heart Radio on Wednesday evening, my time, Wednesday evening. And we were talking about where the future is going in terms of the human design mutation that's occurring in the solar plexus. Well, there was so much that we could have talked about that day, and we're actually going to do some more shows on that with Anaya and Carol Ann. But there was this one thing that is sort of the harbinger of what's to come. And I didn't mention it because when I myself heard this and started, you know, looking for evidence, it freaked me out a bit. And that was that the human population is slated to be cut in half, because that is just a process that we are going through in order to make the world more sustainable. Now, this isn't like someone perpetrating this on us, or it may look like it. Certainly the coronavirus has made it a little bit scary, as we have all of these people that are dying, both young and old and every age in between. It seems to have, you know, taken no prisoners in this particular instance. But this morning there were two articles that were on my desktop as I woke up here and got my computer going. One comes from Bloomberg, and it says that, and I didn't have time to read the articles, but here was the title: Americans aren't making babies, and that's bad for the economy. The other was from Apple News, and it says, "Why America's birth rate is declining as the pandemic rages on." And that just sent chills down my spine because it's the beginning. We are now 7 years from the time of that mutation. We're going to beginning to see the evidence of these things ramping up. So you have something that's forcing a decline in the population that's already here. And now it seems you have forces that are reducing the birth rate. And that is going to come together at some point here in the next, I don't know if it's going to be by 2027 or not. I kind of feel like that's the direction we're heading after 2027, but we're already seeing it start to come up where the population is being, you know, pushed downward. And that is because in order to create a more sustainable world, there has to be fewer residents on the planet. And I know that sounds sort of cold and a little bit detached. When I even say those words, it just makes me go, ugh. But it is the reality of what is happening, and we best be prepared for it, right? So being prepared for that, and it was interesting to see that pop up in the news this weekend or this morning. All right, so let's go on and talk a little more about the full moon. First, let me say good morning to everybody. It looks like there's a lot of people showing up. Marcella Camacho, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts, Tumiel, hello. Phantom Chroma, hello. Good morning, and what is all of this anxiety? Well, likely it's coming from a combination of the mind, a combination of Mars sitting at the gate 51, the gate of shock and awakening and initiation into a new way of being. And anytime we are sensing change in our lives, that often can bring up anxiety. Phantom Chroma, you may be tapping into the anxiety of, you know, the people around you or the world at large, the collective, if you will. And it's a full moon to boot, so that always adds more pressure on all of us as individuals, as the full moon, as you know, has a great effect on the tides, and the tides based in water, your body 75% or so of fluid, and so the full moon has that effect on you as well. And we are less than an hour away from that full moon. It occurs at 8:59 my time this morning, Pacific time, so that'll be 11:59 for those of you on the East Coast, and about 7 hours later for those of you in the UK. So we have that moon that we're staring down the barrel of, and we have a bunch of other raging aspects going on today under the surface and over the week that may be triggering some things as we go on. Tom, good morning to you. J-Lo, good morning. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel had her Oracle Palooza virtual. Awesome. Jackie and Kimberly and Allison, good morning. Amy, good morning. Joshua, good morning. I'm looking forward to chatting with you later. Mimi, hello. Ruwaida Champion, hi. So it's good evening from South Africa. Well, we are so happy that you've joined us, Ruwaida, and I hope I'm saying your name right. I'm so glad I figured out the live time. I'm so excited. Awesome. Thanks for joining us. And Tati, good morning. And Sally, good morning. And J-Lo says, oh, I'm ready for it all. I love that attitude. Sally Bowen, have you covered the solar plexus authority yet? Yes, Sally, indeed. We covered solar plexus first. And let's see, I don't remember what date that is, but I will look back for that video and post it for you again. Thank you, Sally. And Phantom, everybody's now wishing you welcome, Ruwaida. I love that. Loanne, good morning. And Camilla, good morning. And Taylor Jenkins, good morning. Tom says, it absolutely is not eugenics. Tom, please do not spout your conspiracy theories here in the morning show. I won't tolerate it. I just won't tolerate it. So if you want to do that, find your own channel or go to someplace where that is tolerated, because all I see is that this is a change that's occurring on our planet. Irregardless of what the source of it is still something we are having to work through. It is a tool for us to awaken and for us to be able to move through some very big changes, mutations happening here on the planet. And exactly. Good, Ruwaida. Thank you. So let's go on and talk a little bit more about the full moon and what we're going to do here. I'm going to show you a screen. So just a minute while I get that opened up, and then I will share my screen with everybody. And giving us some of the details of this full moon in Aquarius. It is occurring at 11 degrees, 46 minutes of Aquarius Leo. So wherever you have that axis in your astrology chart is where the action is happening. And in a full moon, what we have is the energy of letting go, sort of surrendering. We are letting go. We are completing something. So it could be an ending. It could be any kind of revelation or aha that you might have about what's going on in your life, about where you're going in your life. And added to that, oh, by the way, the time, 11:59 a.m. Pacific time, 2:59 p.m. No, I have that backwards. This was the time for ET. I remember now because the chart itself was based in Washington, D.C. So it's actually 8:59 a.m. Pacific time, 11:59 a.m. East Coast time. And I'm not even going to try to figure out. So it must be, I'm not even going to try to figure out UTC. And I didn't pull that chart out this morning. This particular full moon features a moon sun squaring Uranus at the point of a T-square. And a T-square, as you know, is a very highly energetic sort of configuration or aspect pattern in a chart. It means that there's a lot of focus on the planet at the point. And at the point, the planet sitting there is the planet Uranus in Taurus. And that rules our economy, that rules our money, our banks, it rules our values. And our relationships in some way are also being pointed at by this particular full moon. So there could be some completions going on in relationships. There could be some completions going on in financial things. I think it's interesting that here in the USA, the the CARES Act ran out, which meant that as of Friday, no longer were we receiving that extra $600 in unemployment pay. No matter what state you're in, that was being it was being subsidized by the U.S. government. So that is gone. How interesting. And what kind of effect might that have on the U.S. economy now going forward? And it doesn't look like we're going to have any new bills coming out on that anytime soon, as they can't seem to agree on what that's all about. So the balance point to a T-square is always going to be the exact opposite point of the planet that's at the point. So if Uranus is at the point in Taurus, then that same degree, which is 10 degrees of Taurus, the opposite point is 10 degrees of Scorpio. And wherever 10 degrees of Scorpio is in your personal chart is where you're going to have to come to a balance in order to make sure that you are expressing the energy in a balanced way, in a harmonious way, in order to move forward through this particular full moon gate. Now, in this particular gate, we have, so here, if you're looking at this chart, I hope you guys can see my little cursor rolling around here. Here's the sun, and opposite it is the moon, and over here is the point to Uranus at 10 degrees. The opposite point, 10 degrees over here of Scorpio. Now, interesting, in that area of the chart is the white moon Selina, and we don't talk about that very often, but the white moon, if the black moon Lilith shows you your shadow, the white moon Selene shows you where you can do the most good, where your heart really lies, where your passions really lie. So perhaps in this particular full moon, it's pulling us into living out the high side of our passions through what it is that we truly love and what it is that we really, that really, you know, makes us happy. So for some of you, that might be your art. For some of you, it might be music. For some of you, it might be working with kids. For others of you, it's astrology. For some of you, it's maybe the work that you do already on a daily basis. Whatever it is, this is kind of pulling us into living from the part that we are really glad that we have this, you know, skill and this talent to be able to share with others. So no matter what the crazy is that pops up on your screen in the outer world, your focus needs to be on what it is that you are passionate about down here. Focus on sharing that with the world and not getting into all of the crazy that is going on into the world. So as we focus on that and we begin to, then we begin to really just go with the flow of what's happening on the planet, and we don't have to get all caught up in the crazies of it. Now, this particular moon also has an easy connection to Chiron. Chiron is in Aries right here at 9-ish degrees, almost 10 degrees. So it's very close to the same degree as the sun and the moon. And it's a trine to the sun, and it is a sextile to the moon. which means that those wounds that we're carrying, those deep, hard to access sometimes wounds, and sometimes they're all up on your sleeve, are easily worked through during this period of time. It's like, maybe we just decide, I'm done with the baggage, I'm going to let it go, right? I'm done with all of that. So that is a helper in all of this full moon stuff. Mercury opposes Saturn during this period of time. And here's where the tricky part comes in, I think. It's not even the moon in this case, it's Mercury at the very last couple of degrees of Cancer, as tomorrow he's moving on into Leo finally. So he's in the final degrees of Cancer. So those tend to be the more karmic degrees. And as the day wears on, he's definitely moving closer to that 29th degree and in an opposition to Saturn, which is sitting at the 27th degree. So right now they're actually in that opposition space. And when we have this opposition energy, it brings up sort of brain jam, or at least that's what I call it, where we feel, I'm going to stop sharing the screen, where we feel caught up here, where there's so much going on. There's this mental, it could be jams up in our brain, in our transportation, in our being able to speak. Like me, I couldn't get that word subsidized, and it just is the kind of order of the day. So it really shows us where we need to slow down in order to be able to think clearly and maybe even hold ourselves back from making some of those big decisions that we might want to make until we have some more clarity, because Saturn here is constricting, right? It's pulling us in, and Mercury is our mind. And when we can't get our mind to really focus on the practical or the down to earth or the organized way of progressing, then everything feels a bit anxious, right? There's that anxiety piece that comes up. So we need plans. We need to have practical action steps that we can take to get to where we want to go. And that might be hard to come by today. So if you are having trouble with that, then just, you know, be okay with where you are. Let the day go on. Even if you are out on the roads, because Mercury rules transportation, there can be those kind of stop-ups on the traffic jam side of things. So just sort of be aware of that slowdown in your mind, the slowdown in communication, and the slowdown in transportation for the day. That will wane as the day wears on. As we get in tomorrow, literally this is, you know, out of our hair and we've moved on. It might be a good idea for us to take a look at some of the things that are going on with this full moon before we get into the actual time period. So the full moon in Aquarius is sort of that putting us in an opposition, if you will, between Leo's individualistic energy where the sun is and the full moon's energy, which is more in the group spirit, if you will. So Aquarius has its need for individualism and freedom, but it also has the concern, it's more of the team player. So in as part of a team, it wants to add its skills and its gifts and talents to the group. But if it is Leo energy, it wants to be seen as the standout in the crowd. Aquarius energy is more, let's be a part of the crowd. And because of that connection to Uranus, I feel like there may be some buried things that come up during this time, some things that have been hidden from you, or that you've been hiding from yourself, or that the outer world has set about to try to hide from us. And that those things can burst into your awareness and either give you sort of that shakeup that you need to move you forward, or to help you let go of something so that with the next new moon, you're ready to move forward. Now, the square that at the moment, there's the square to Uranus. It's at the point of a T-square. So we have that very unexpected sort of initiation, awakening energy. We have the opposition to the sun, which is of course the full moon. And then we have a sextile to Mars, just to add some fun there. So we have action going on. We have conflict, perhaps. We have confrontation, perhaps. And we have also, maybe because it's a sextile, a pathway to being more productive, to being more forward moving. So it behooves us, I think, to take a little bit deeper look at what does Aquarius energy mean for us in this. And we haven't seen Aquarius for a while. We've been focusing on that Capricorn energy. And I'm thinking that I don't even remember talking much about Aquarius too much lately. But as we look at it, it is about energy that's out there on the fringes, right? Issues that are out there on the fringes. And it can sometimes take us off on a tangent in a direction that is not necessarily positive, is not necessarily one that we choose consciously to go to, just sort of unconsciously we go off and we may suddenly go, whoa, what am I doing over here? And we suddenly shift going in a different direction. And it is as if we are awakened abruptly into something, initiated into something. And we have another couple of days until Wednesday where Mars will be sitting at the gate 51 in our human design. That is the gate of shock. It is the gate of awakening. So there can be things that prompt us, that move us in that particular direction. Aquarius also, the Aquarius moon specifically, rules our friends and our networks of people and the people that we are sort of linked together with. So our networking, if you will, and that can mean your social media networks, your groups, your pages, all of the ways in which that you connect with other people. Then we are possibly coming together for a cause, for uplifting the planet, for being a positive force on the planet. That would certainly be nice rather than us going into the darker places of conspiracy theories and who's doing what to whom. Since we're the co-creators here, let's create something together that is positive, uplifting, and moving us into a new direction as a team, as a group, as a family of human beings, right? Bonding together in associations that take us into a new direction. Using as well innovation. Innovation and tech, high tech, are all a part of the Uranus experience and the Aquarius experience because Uranus is one of the co-rulers. Genius breakthroughs, right? In your own life, we might hear about it in the news. We might hear about something that finally is a breakthrough, futuristic ideas coming up. And not all futuristic ideas are meant to be acted upon, but they act as inspiration for us to find new ways to solve old problems. And the moon in Aquarius brings us that. A full moon helps us maybe to release the past so that we can open up to the new and see the possibilities when we take a more high road or a more higher perspective and looking back into the planet to see what's happening and the rightness and the perfectness of how everything is coming together to bring us into more unity. That's the whole purpose of everything that's going on, is to help us heal that breach, that division, that polarization that has happened. Now, Aquarius is really good energy if you need a detached view, right? If you need to be able to step back and be objective, Aquarius is your sign for that. We're able from that detached view to see the connections where when we're straight staring at it in our faces, we just don't see it. So if we step back in this particular time period, we can see the bigger picture, that we can see how it is that we're working for the common good, because I'm telling you, the common good is what the Aquarian age will all be about. Common good, including factoring Mother Earth into all of that. And what does that mean? Because Aquarius is sort of the champion for humanity and for those common core values that we hold, the love energy, the caring and nurturing energy that we're holding. So what does that mean? Well, we get an opportunity once a month while the moon is transiting through Aquarius to see more about what that means for us, to see how it is that we can hold us all together with love instead of tearing ourselves apart with division. So what do we watch for, right? We always have the less positive energy that's going on. We have to watch out for it being our head in the clouds. I can feel myself going there as I want to lift off and I want to look at the cosmic overview and see something brighter, something better. But unfortunately, just from the head in the clouds, we don't really get to the solutions. So we need to come back down to earth. And when we get back down to earth, sometimes we're dealing with rigid opinions. So all of us have to really look at where is our dogma, right? Where is it that we are not wanting to yield those old opinions? Where are we being stubborn? Where are we being obstinate and refusing to yield something whose time has come to be released? So we get to look at all of that during this period of time as well. Yay us, right? Yay us. So hopefully everybody's doing well. Let's go back here and see Augustina. Hello. She says, everyone grateful for today, full moon Aquarius energy. And I'm glad to be among these beautiful tribe of people. We're glad to have you with us. And JLo, that Chiron. Yeah. She says, I have it in Aries. So you're later 40s, likely mid 40s to late 40s. You're moving into at some point here in the next probably 6 years, your Chiron return. And that means you are cleaning up, right? You're finishing the journey that began in the beginning, right? And when you were born, and somewhere along 1977, when Chiron was discovered, however old you were at that point, if you were already born, then that wound got triggered. Then if you were not born, then you were sort at that point, then you were born into anybody born after October of 77, you were born into that Chiron wound. And it takes time, right? As you go through all the wounding and the healing from that wound, it sets you up now for that return, JLo, where you can finally see how it is that your experiences and your healing process brings you to an opportunity to help others work through it and help healing others through your experience with that wound. Sally, Chiron is on my natal sun. So you are the epitome. You identify with that wounded healer and likely can really initiate some healing with others or with yourself in this lifetime. The sun brings a lot of energy to that, right? It was, by the way, I was reading, what was I reading this weekend? Something I was reading. Some astrology book, right? Some astrology book where it was. So Chiron was born of from Philyra, and oh my God, I just cannot remember the name of the god that was his father, Kronos. So Kronos is Saturn, right? So Kronos and Philyra came together, and Philyra, I believe, was a horse, and Kronos, time, Saturn, the authority, comes together with Philyra, and they birth Chiron. And Chiron is a centaur, then he's half man, half horse. And in his journey, of course, he was ugly to his peers. And so he was carrying a wound of not feeling included, not feeling loved, not feeling wanted. And on top of other wounds, abandonment, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it was Apollo, the god of the sun god, who took in Chiron and made him his friend, taught him his healing practice, and helped him to learn how to move through the wound with all the love of the light of the sun, right, that the sun god could give him. So here it is, whoever, Sally, you're going through that same thing, maybe in your life, moving through that Chironic wound of not feeling beautiful enough, not feeling good enough to be with the people that you're in, that your family maybe has made you, but you can take in your own self, be your own best friend, find those people that you really resonate with and be with them and let them support you through this learning. Today, Loanne, is today a good day for having a serious conversation or wait it out a bit? I would wait it out a bit. I would wait it out a bit because Uranus is in the mix. I would wait it out a bit because Mars is sitting at the gate 51 and we might say things that shock others, that even shock ourselves. So maybe just, Mercury enters Leo tomorrow, the 4th. So maybe wait then. Although, I always feel a little bit like whatever's happening in the moment is the right thing to happen in the moment. If the conversation has to be said, then the best thing that you can do is to make sure you're saying what you need to say with love and you are waiting out the invitation if you have an open throat in your human design. But today, because of the full moon and because Mercury's in an opposition to Saturn, it's not a great day, right? Your brain isn't thinking right. It's bogged down. It's log jammed. And so you might want to wait at least for another day or two. And maybe what Josh is saying, wait till Friday, maybe that's even the better day, right? Although, no, I would do it before Friday because by Friday, the moon gets into Aries. And let's see, when does that? I know it shifts this week at 6:05 a.m. Friday morning, the moon will shift into Aries. So maybe maybe Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday, because the last thing you need is the moon being in Aquarius in Aries, where it is very emotional and very confrontational. So, and of course, all of that, we have to look at your own chart too, Loanne, and see. Jackie, this moon falls on my north node and Mars in the sixth house, setting you up to be moving in a new direction. Are you getting a new job, Jackie? Are you looking at rearranging your work environment, or what's going on for you? J-Lo, holy smokes, my Saturn is in the first house, so not too far from Chiron. They better get along or I'll put them in the corner. Actually, you know, Saturn and Chiron don't do too badly together when they're focused on healing energy. But if Saturn has you focused on something and Chiron has you focused on something else, then they might diverge. I just thought it was interesting that Cronos, who we also know as Saturn, is Chiron's father. And to me, it's just interesting that that happened. So, Genlac, good morning. Can a galactic card be pulled for this moon? Oh, let's see. I have those cards sitting here. So yes, we can. A galactic heritage card is what she's talking about, this deck that we like to use. We'll do that here in just a moment. Loanne says, okay, Wednesday or Thursday, much better. Yeah, mama, much better. I don't know where Aries is in your chart, but there's a lot going on in Aries. Chiron is transiting through there. Mars is transiting through there. He will retrograde through that sign. And we have, the Black Moon Lilith is also sitting in that sign right now, as well as Eris. So we have a lot of spiteful and confrontational sort of energy sitting in Aries right now, and likely heating things up, right? That's a fire sign. So our passions, our ideas are right there on the surface. So be careful, right? Just be careful and be loving as much as you can of whatever it is that you have to say. And make sure you have permission to speak. Loanne says, okay, Wednesday or Thursday. Jackie, I am waiting to go back to work in September. In the meantime, I'm thinking of a new path I might want to go down in the future. Ooh, well, keep that, right? I just realized what book I was reading. It was, and the name escapes me, but it was a book by the Wisdom Codes. That's what it was, the Wisdom Codes. And the Wisdom Codes, written by Greg Braden. And if you've never read any books by Greg Braden, he is... he's amazing, right? He's just amazing how he blends science and spirit into a metaphysical sort of practical guide. And he was talking about words. And of course, I'm a Gemini. I love words and the words that we say and how much impact and how much power they have. And he was going by through different parts of the sacred texts and talking about the words and how powerful the our elders, our ancients, our beloved mentors, gurus even, have known about the truth of words and how words really affect our reality and how they create our reality. And of course, words begin in the mind and words then come out of our larynx, which then adds more power, and then we are often experiencing words and emotions and thoughts all together, and they become very powerful creators of our reality. So since it begins in the mind with the thoughts you're thinking, he was the story I was reading was about Moses going up to the top of the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And while I'm not a particularly Bible leaning believer, I can't even profess to know much. It made sense as what he was saying. Moses, as he was moving to the top of the mountain, he was invoking a protective prayer, Psalm 91, I think it was, or what has become Psalm 91. In the King James Version of the Bible, to protect him as he moved up this to this, you know, high mountain. And it reminded me of the point in time where we are at right now and what it is that we are focusing our thoughts on, which then drive often what words are coming out. And then when we add that to an aggravation or an irritation or a conflict of an emotion, right, the anger, the upset, the fear of an emotional feeling, then we are in very tricky territory because those become highly co-creative. And the universe in this particular aspect doesn't hear that you really don't want that. All it hears or senses is the focus that you're putting on that, and then creates more of that because it's what you're focusing on, right? That must be what you want. So we have to learn to really be aware of what our thoughts are thinking and what our body is going through emotionally before we actually speak something. So for you, Loann, you're going into a conversation that sounds like it must be something that's really near and dear to your heart, something maybe that has been an annoyance to you, or something conflict-oriented. Whatever it is, it's a big conversation. So right now what I would be doing before I ever speak, before I ever sat down to say what I'm going to say, because you have time, is to decide how you want that to turn out. What is the highest and best that you can focus on right now for the outcome of that conversation? And then we always add this or something better, right? Or how can this be any better? Because we're opening our hearts up to the universal way of bringing us what we desire in a way that is with ease, with grace, you know, in a higher way. And we have to all learn this, right? So even though I'm going to the news and I'm finding stories that mirror something that's happening on the planet, I know that I'm not going to put my focus there because I certainly don't want that necessarily to be done in a way that isn't with ease and grace. It may definitely be our future. It may indeed be, but it doesn't mean that I have to go there willingly. I can do something like, you know, holding that space for the right opportunities to come up, for these possibilities to show up with ease and grace. That's what I'm going to focus my mind on, right? Not on the theory that so-and-so is doing something to so-and-so and that we're going to die because of it, right? Then I'm putting my focus there and creating that instead. So then the same thing for you, Jackie Piccola. You're waiting to go back to work. In the meantime, I'm thinking of new paths I want to go down in the future. And that's perfect. You're thinking about them. What do they feel like? And what would be in total support of you and what you want from your passions, right? Remember, it's White Moon Selena today that is in opposition to the T-square pointed at Uranus. So what is it that's the highest and best, your good, that you want to share with the world? And is the job that you're going back to in September supporting you in that? Or is there another path ahead for you? And so focusing on what it is you desire, not on what it is that you don't want to have happen. That's the important thing. This full moon is in my 10th house, S. Webb. I'm not sure what your full name is, but hello. Been employed for almost a year. Is it time for a job for me? Well, my question to you is, what do you want? Do you want a job? And if you want a job, then what are you doing to align yourself with that job? Are you putting yourself in the way of employment, or are you hiding? Do you really not want a job? Would you rather be at home doing something you love? So that doesn't have to be, what I'm thinking is that you're thinking you need an income, right? Money to come in. So, which we all need, right? In this particular reality, we have money that supports us. So is there a way that you can put yourself in the lineup of that particular job, of a job coming at you? And what do you feel about that? So aligning what you're doing, what you're thinking, and what you're feeling helps you to create the pathway to that, so that spirit can bring that to you, magnetizing it to you. Amy, full moon, more coffee needed. Me too. Mine always gets cold by the time I'm done. I got to go make more. Taylor says, LOL. What you focus on is what you receive, is what J-Lo says. The universe only reads the frequency we give out. I confuse myself sometimes, especially when I feel bad for my kids. So I have to learn myself to disconnect off their energy, or just to hold space for them to go through whatever it is they're needing to go through. They're here on this planet at this time for whatever reasons, right? So you're just holding that space for them. Loann, yes, loving way, still so new and learning, also very confused on the outcome. And which is why your mind needs to get off the outcome, except for to say what I, whatever it is, and you're not sharing what that is, so it's hard for me to say specifically, but whatever it is that you want as that outcome, is it something that you're, a conversation you're having with an employer that you want to be able to be more respected, right? So your outcome is more respect, right? Respected for the work I put in, for the time I put in. If it's a spouse or a significant other in your life, again, you know, is it more love that you're looking for? Is it more respect? Maybe it's more time, whatever it is that you're needing, your outcome is the highest and best for both people, and keeping it in your focus. And Webb says, I found that these last few months, I love doing my artwork. Lovely. Sally Bowen, what do you mean by hold space? How do you do that? Allowing is another word for that, Sally. So when you're holding space for something, you're allowing without, you're kind of setting backward, you know, set back and be more objective and being the observer perhaps of what is happening, not trying to push things into happening in a specific way. Just allowing it, right? Holding space for whatever is going to happen in its highest and best to happen, right? So you're not pushing the river. You're not pulling people into things. You're just sitting here in, it's like Buddha. He was holding space. He was always holding space. And then when someone came to him and asked him to speak, he would speak. He would download whatever information he had. Up until that point, he was just going along his life wherever spirit moved him. And then he would engage when he was invited to engage. So it's about being there and being present to whatever it is that's happening in that moment. Rueda, this is all new to me, but I will seek the information to get to a point where I will be able to say Saturn is in my blank house. Thank you for being so informative for your channel. Rueda, so I invite you to go to my website, living-astrology.com, because there you can get a copy of your free human design chart and report and a free astrology chart, so that you will have that with us in the mornings and be able to follow along. So by the way, this morning I am broadcasting live to Oneness Talk Radio. So some of you who are new here to us this morning may be coming from that particular channel. If so, I broadcast live there Monday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific time. But Tuesday through Friday, I also broadcast on my own YouTube channel, Living Astrology, at 8 a.m. Pacific time. So you're welcome to join us 5 days a week where we do the same kind of thing, talk through the astrology, the human design, the whatever it is that's happening for us for this particular week. And you're most welcome to join us there. So let's see, this morning I also, before we pull a card for the Galactic Heritage, I also want to take a look ahead at what's happening for the week itself. So we have today Mercury moving into Leo. We have Mars squaring Jupiter as well this week. And that is a very tricky energy. It's very highly, it's just energetic, let's say, right? And we want to go big, we want to go large, and we're optimistic perhaps, and we're, or every conflict is overblown, or every experience that we have might be bigger than what we expect and not necessarily in a positive way. So again, making sure that you are very aware of what your mind is on as you enter into something out there in your life. Wednesday, we have a node shift in our human design chart. The nodes have been sitting at two of the gates of love, the gate of the love of self and the gate of the love of humanity. The south node at the gate of the love of self. So we're having to remember who we really are, right? That we are intrinsically valuable because we are human beings on this planet, that we don't have to do, say, or be anything other than ourselves. And then on the other side, we can be on the negative side of the south node. We could be very self-obsessive, more compulsive. So we were having to find that medium ground where we could pull from our tool chest and help others with what we've learned. And the north node had been sitting at the gate 15, which is the love of humanity. So we were taking our own unique tapestry, part of the tapestry, our own unique DNA makeup, and we were moving that into humanity and adding to the tapestry of life. Now the nodes on Wednesday will be shifting to the gates 12 and 11, 12 being the gate of openness, 12 being the gate where we learn to speak in a way that is open-minded, positive, right? We're using our voice for the purpose in which it was meant to be used, sharing, spreading love, caring, and having a new voice out there. The energy of the South Node at the gate 11 is remembering the light. Remember the light. It's the gate of light. It's the gate of the seeker. And I think it's time. The gate 11 is often the gate of seeking, but not necessarily finding or being surprised and awed by the things that we do find out there, right? So in this particular time, the old way of being is to keep constantly seeking. And what is now being focused on is what are we speaking to? What are we seeking and now speaking? Seeking, right? Sharing your wisdom, sharing your knowledge, sharing your adventures, sharing your lifetime adventures. I met up with a woman on Friday, an 80-year-old woman. I want to grow up and be just like her. She was amazing. You would never have known she was 80 years old. She was having a human design reading. I don't think I've ever done a reading for an 80-year-old in my life. And here she was, so open and wide-eyed and excited to find out everything about this so she could share of her stories. She could share more of who she is. And she really wanted to know what her authentic path was. It was like amazing to me that that was happening. So be willing and ready to do that. That begins on Wednesday as well. We shift the gates of in human design, the sun and earth, to the gate 7 leadership, or the power behind the throne, and gate 13, the gate of listening. Very important. Friday, Mars moves out of the gate 51, leaving us from shock into completion. And I have to be wondering what that might be all about as we're ready to move in this weekend, watching out for our words and our deeds, as the moon will be in Aries. That means the moon, right, our softer feminine side, is going to come into the warrior god, and also Eris, and squaring Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto in Capricorn. So the weekend itself can be a little bit tricky as it holds so much of this powerful energy, this power of confrontation, this power of action and productivity. So we want to watch the weekend's energy. And lastly, let's talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy. Remember, we are now under the umbrella energy that began last week, Friday, one catalyzing. Catalyzing energy is based on the Mayan sign Kawayak, which was clearing the air, right? The rainstorm or the lightning storm that comes and clears away the debris, the old thought forms, the old ugliness of the planet, and brings in the new, right? That's our catalyzing energy, the umbrella for the full 13-day week. But today's part is for breathing. So we're coming to a point of integration, right? So we've had the one energy of creation. We've got the two energy of it splitting into duality. We've had the three energy of creativity. And now we're moving into the four energy, bringing it all into a new awareness. Wow, all my weather alarms are going off. It's a test. Now we also are going to be looking at breathing energy. The breathing part is the earth energy. And the earth energy of breathing is sharing ideas, right? Sharing thoughts and what's new and trending and, you know, moving innovation through the system. It's about our looking at new ways of being with one another, right? Just all of those new ideas and the inspiration. So today's a day to share. It can also be a little bit chaotic in the outer world as, you know, new things come up, as sometimes, you know, craziness comes up and we just move with that and we share and we give and we receive. So it's a great day for all of that. All right. So, yeah, it was a great experience, Sue. Yeah. I loved it. And so amazing to see that life isn't over when we get out of our 50s or even our 60s or even in our 70s, right? This woman is 80 and she had just completed a trip across the country alone, driving. I was like, wow, I wouldn't know if I would want to do that myself right now. But there she was. Okay, so let's take a look at our Galactic Heritage cards for the suggested card for the week. It was for the moon. And we like to do this on Mondays to bring us sort of together for a moment. Let's just see if we can do that. Let's just center ourselves and all of us sort of focus on what would be in the highest and best for all of us as humans, as humanity on this planet. What could bring us together even? And let's see if I can pull. Yes, I can. The pulse of life, the galactic core. Ooh, that makes so much sense to me because we have the South Node in Sagittarius sitting at the galactic center. So we have the galactic core. And let me bring that up, set it back. Can you guys see that? The galactic core, the pulse of life. And let's see what that means. These cards are fairly new to me. And it's card number 2, so it's way back here at the beginning. And so I don't know much about them, so it's always exciting for me to read these. So for all of us, the pulse of life is the card that we're looking at. And it says, like a great galactic clock, the galaxy's core calibrates the rhythm of the evolution of consciousness through its wave emissions. Ancient civilizations such as the Maya were fully connected to it and were able to plot a galactic calendar using this wisdom. All life, including you, can feel this pulse from the core. Look out into the night sky and connect with the dark spot in the Milky Way. Let yourself breathe in this energy, resettling you to the natural pulse of the universe. You cannot rush evolution. This is the card of trust. Let go and allow the universe to work through you. While creation spans an infinite number of galaxies and states of consciousness, this card represents the energy of our home galaxy. At the center of any galaxy, the core acts like a metronome, almost like a heartbeat, that guides the pace of evolution of all the consciousness in that particular galaxy. The Maya and other ancient civilizations understood this great role played by the galactic core and were able to interpret this pulse through their advanced calendar system that described the process of evolution from separation back into unity. God, I love this. Everyone is attuned to this metronome, but only some can feel it. In the year 2012, our solar system crossed over the galactic disk, beginning a new 13,000-year cycle of evolution. We are now able to access a whole new energy that facilitates integration and evolution during this new cycle. Some have also called this the rising of the cosmic feminine. If this card has come up in your reading, then it is either acknowledging your innate connection to this galactic pulse, or it is encouraging you to begin developing it. When you do this, the cosmic plan unfolds within you, and it becomes so much easier to connect with the higher self and flow with the natural current of your life instead of trying to manipulate events and with the ego personality. Connecting with this energy brings a tremendous sense of peace and stillness and truly facilitates your journey home. Wow. I don't know if anybody else feels that, but that was a big wow in my books. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you for whoever suggested that be the deck that we use for our reading. And before I forget, let's draw an animal card that can also help us to be in the full moon energy and in the flow of this particular new week as we move ahead here. So, animal card would be our totem animal, our guide. And thank you, J-Lo, who sent me a book that is all about totem animals and the gene keys in human design. I may begin sharing some of that with you all pretty soon. And look what we got. Eagle spirit, albeit upside down in protection. It is card number 23, which is a 5. A 5 is change. So Eagle Spirit says, Spirit has your back. Spirit has your back. But again, it was in protection. So let's look at that. 23. If you are walking awkwardly and feeling embarrassed, Eagle Spirit is here to tell you that it is only because right now you are meant to fly. Soar over troubles that have you feeling scared and alone. See the big picture, yet retain your eagle eye for the details that help you claim your wisdom and courage. Or perhaps you are making yourself small for the sake of getting others to accept you. Now is not the time to be vulnerable, and now is not the time to be vulnerable and dependent, for you have the wings to fly on your own, and you need to do that at this time. There is no need to huddle in a shelter or even to seek out a flock to support you, for Eagle Spirit says you have tremendous wisdom and courage within. Let it arise so that you might soar proudly with the angels serving as the wind beneath your wings. From these heights, you can make the best and most powerful choices for the highest good of all. Wow. Eagle. It's funny too, because this morning I'm getting dressed and I hear, you know, I live on an island in Northwest Washington, for those of you who are new. And you know, there are a lot of bald eagles here, lots of them. At some times of the year, you just see them everywhere. I once counted 35 of them in a farm field. And it's an amazing sight. Right now, they're not so much here, but I could have sworn I heard one, the cry of one. So I went out and I'm looking for him. I can't find him. I never did see him, but I heard him. And interesting, with we're going into listening. So listening to what it is that Eagle Spirit is bringing to us in this full moon window. All right, guys, that is it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow on the Living Astrology YouTube channel. See you then.